Time Will Tell, Time Has Told, written by Sishal and read by Flower Parish. This is a Batman fic, rated for mature audiences, with warnings for graphic depictions of violence. It features the relationships Jason Todd and Bruce Wayne, and Tim Drake and Jason Todd. Summary. Jason has just tentatively started to work with the Bats after his dramatic return from the dead. On one of those joined missions, he gets hit by a spell that sends him back in time. What he learns there changes his relationship with the Bats in the future forever. Jason crashes into the dumpster with the force of a wrecking ball, and it punches all the air out of his lungs with one big oomph. "Fuck, that hurts," he wheezes, as he carefully picks himself back up from the ground. The last remaining shards of his helmet crumble and fall, glittering to the ground, leaving his head bare. His back and neck protest the movement, but he needs to get up, get ready for that bastard to... Jason blinks, sweeping the dark alley with his gaze for any sign of the battle he just participated in. But there is nothing. No kid in traffic light colors. No pissed-off dick with a bloody nose he got while he tried to protect the new Robin from the newest big bad psycho. And also, now that Jason is thinking of it, no big bad new psycho in sight. What the fuck? He wonders, but he knows better than to hope for answers. Gotham is a cesspool of the weird and unnecessary, and hoping for easy answers or a normal day is only for the newbies. Which he's not, because Jason being alive is one of those weird and unnecessary things popping up in fucking Gotham. For all he knows, that asshole with his glow stick could have catapulted him into a dimension where Gotham is inhabited by dinosaurs or whatever. Suppressing another groan as he cautiously takes the first step, Jason knows that something is fundamentally wrong. They had fought close to Crime Alley, his goons informing him just in time that the lunatic that had popped up several days ago and terrorized Gotham's streets was closing in on their territory. The streets had crawled with all kinds of people trying to get out of the way of Gotham's newest wacko. Others had tried to catch whatever was happening on their phones to sell to the news, or put it in their blogs, just like they always do. Even back when he'd still lived with his parents, this part of Gotham had always been busy, being the border between the shinier parts that came to the shadows to get drugs, sex, or anything else they could buy there. But now, nothing. Probably really an alternate dimension, Jason thinks, as he slowly makes his way through the alley. It feels like something is afoot, like someone is watching. But the shadows are still and the windows empty, and there is still no sign of his fight, so Jason resigns himself to look into what kind of bullshit situation he's found himself in the old school way, by gathering intel. Why the hell does his life have to be such a fucking freak show? He just wants to build his criminal empire in peace to get the drugs and human trafficking under control. And if he can kill a clown and an asshole or two along the way, even better. Is that really too much to ask for? Well, Gotham or fate or whatever the fuck definitely seems to think so. With a resigned sigh, Jason slowly edges along the shadows and skims along corners, always on the lookout for anything that can help him figure out where the hell he has ended up. It takes him a while to find his way to parts that are not completely abandoned. And there he finds out, through a newspaper, an honest-to-God newspaper in the trash, that he had asked the wrong question all along. It's not where, but when. At least if the newspaper is right and he has been sent back to... Fuck my life, Jason whispers. I'm dead. And as if on cue to fuck with him even more, a desperate cry echoes through the narrow streets, screaming for help. Well, his counterpart may be dead, but Jason definitely isn't. Or his counterpart is probably dead. But that depends on if this really is another time or another dimension altogether. Or maybe both. Ugh, this shit is giving him a headache. But no matter what the case may be, as long as he's still standing, he can't ignore a call for help. A second scream kicks Jason into gear. leaving the caution and his wariness of the place behind in favor of helping someone, Jason starts running. Sliding around corners and pumping his legs, he curses the fact that he has no oracle or network of street informants he can ask about where he needs to be. But he hasn't been a vigilante for the better part of his life for nothing, so it doesn't take him too long to close in on the sounds of fists hitting flesh and pain grunts that grow weaker and weaker with every step it takes Jason to finally find them. What he sees when he finally turns that last corner makes him freeze in his steps. He feels as if a whole river worth of ice water is dumped over him, drowning him. Because that is Batman, Bruce, punching over and over into a man that is on the ground, face already distorted by swelling and so bloody that Jason can't make out any features. And another body lies beside them, unmoving and broken. The only sounds are the small grunts of Batman's victim that echo through the narrow alley as the breath is getting punched out of his lungs with every hit Bruce lands on the man. That and the heavy breathing of Bruce as he relentlessly pummels again and again into the man. Jason stares, gobsmacked, at the scene in front of him. He can't believe what his eyes are telling him, because that is Bruce, and he will kill the guy if he doesn't stop. This has to be some fucked up dimension. There is no way in hell that Bruce would ever... Tim's words, spoken months ago back in the tower, float up in his mind like a bloated corpse that Jason had tried to hide in the depths of his mind. Bruce was killing himself. He was losing it. He almost killed not just himself, but others. You know that he wouldn't have survived that. Your death destroyed him. Jason lurches forward, his movements uncoordinated and frantic in his haste to prevent what Tim had told him so long ago from happening. B, he yells, his voice breaking. B, stop, he tries again, his voice stronger. But Bruce isn't listening, doesn't even seem to realize that he has an audience. His jaw is clenched so tight that his muscles jump, his teeth are bared, and there is blood splattered all over his face and hands. B, you're killing him, Jason roars, and tackles the man from the side, slamming all his considerable weight into him. He feels his bad shoulder strain in its socket, and he can't suppress the scream when Bruce flips them to land on top of him, on exactly that shoulder. Bruce looks down at him, eyes hidden behind the whiteout lenses, but his teeth are still bared, and he's growling. The blood on his face is now smeared halfway up the cowl and building little droplets on the lenses. And Jason feels how fear freezes the words in his throat and weighs his limbs to the ground. Bruce's fist suddenly slams down, smashing into his face and splitting his brow. His head cracks against the ground, even though he's already lying flat. B, he groans. B, please. Before Bruce can punch him a second time, sirens suddenly wail through the night, quickly drawing nearer. Jason can see the blue light flash across the walls behind Bruce's fist that is hovering over his face, ready for the next punch. Bruce flinches, and Jason could swear that his eyes widen behind the mask. The man jerks himself off Jason as if he's been burned, and without another glance back, he grapples off into the night. Fuck, Jason breathes, and lets his eyes fall closed. Just for a second. Just until... The sound of footsteps jerks him from his pity party. His eyes fly open, and he can barely make out small feet disappearing up a fire escape. Is that Tim? Jason instantly thinks, and picks himself up from the ground. His body is not happy with what it had to endure that night, but Jason ignores it with the ease of practice and swings himself up the fire escape to follow the kid up the side of the building. On the roof, Jason thinks for a moment he's lost the little gremlin, but then he sees the tip of a shoe peeking out behind an AC vent, and his heart clenches as he comes nearer and sees how hard the kid is trembling. Gosh, he's so tiny, Jason thinks, and his heart takes another painful squeeze at the thought of what Tim had to witness, seeing his hero spiral so out of control, getting lost in the violence. Jason crouches down several feet away from the kid that is watching him with huge, frightened eyes. "Did you call the cops?" he asks, and dials his deep growl down as much as he can. Tim just stares at him before he finally nods, one jerky dip of his chin, eyes constantly glued onto Jason, watching him warily. "You did good," Jason murmurs. "Thank you. I think you saved me tonight," he says, and Tim's eyes become impossibly larger. Jason studies the kid in front of him, taking in his huddled form that is almost completely swallowed by a hoodie that seems several sizes too big for his slight frame. "Without you, Batman could have hurt me much worse, could have hurt that other man much worse," he says, and blinks his eyes. The left one is slowly swelling up, and that's making it harder and harder to see out of it. He wipes the blood that is trickling down his face out of his eyes. "Batman is losing it," Tim says, his voice just as tiny as him and so much higher than the one Jason is used to. But there is still an edge of steel in there that Jason knows so well. Or rather, the edge of steel is already in there. Fucking hell, this time travel or dimension hopping or whatever the shit is giving him a damn migraine. But he needs to concentrate, needs to figure out what he's supposed to do. "Hopefully I haven't fucked everything up already with my failed intervention," he thinks sourly. After another second, Jason slowly asks, "Has he been like this for long?" "It's gotten worse," Tim says. "Ever since Robin..." His small voice breaks, and Jason has to swallow down the wave of emotions that suddenly threatens to overwhelm him. "I think," Jason starts to say, but falters, not sure if he should really proceed with his half-baked plan. But this tiny version of Tim is looking so lost and forlorn that he opens his mouth anyways. "I think that Batman needs help," he offers carefully. "Someone to ground him," he manages to say, but before he can say anything else, he's suddenly hit by a wave of nausea. He gets up and stumbles away, not wanting to hurl right at the boy's feet, leaving a startled Tim behind. The boy calls for him as he tries to get himself out of the gap he's wedged himself in as fast as possible, but Tim is not quick enough. Jason feels how something hits him with the force of a sledgehammer to the chest, and the world around him suddenly lurches, whirls, and slides horribly out of focus. Jason crashes into a dumpster for the second time that night, but this time at least he has his feet under him. Groaning, he peels himself off the stinking thing and stumbles a few steps until small but strong hands catch him on the shoulder. He opens his one good eye, almost counting on having run into the next baddie, but is instead met with the same huge blue eyes he just left behind. Tim strides towards him with wide, panicked eyes that roam frantically over Jason's face, taking in the swollen eye and the split eyebrow that is still slowly oozing blood along with all the other scratches and bruises and his torn leather jacket with wide eyes. "It's been you," he whispers. "It really has been you all along." Jason swallows hard. He doesn't know what to say, what to feel. All the pent-up emotions are choking him up. The only thing he manages is a whispered, "I'm sorry, baby bird," because he knows how much pain he'd brought Tim by planting this idea into his head all those years ago, just a second ago. "Come on," Tim whispers, and slips Jason's good arm over his slim shoulder. "I think it's time to go home." Jason just nods, not even realizing that Dick is trailing behind them with a concerned expression on his face as Tim leads him to the Batmobile. The end. Podfigure's EndNotes. If you are interested in a vague idea of what happens next, please see the original fic where the author has left EndNotes about kind of what happens. Thank you to the author for allowing podfics of your work. This was sad but beautiful, and I really like it. If you, the listener, enjoyed this podfic, please consider leaving a kudos or comment on the AO3 podfic post. And please don't forget to leave a kudos and or comment on the fic itself. And like I said, go check out those endnotes for a little teaser of what happens next. Thank you for listening.